Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're gonna reap.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bun, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside.
Hold
my
on,
papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you're listening to the best internet program around. We are.
Hello.
All right, ladies, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. All right, sorry about that. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk listeners, and welcome to Street Talk, where I'm the host, Sean, and my co-host is Keisha. We're live every Friday night, starting next Friday from 8 to 9, 9 to 10. Online, I welcome all callers to speak with you. We will not have any profanity. We will agree to disagree, and all of our conversations that we have will be live. Remember, we are live, so please mute your phone so that we can hear everyone who is speaking clearly. Tonight, we will be speaking a little about domestic violence. I have a guest speaker who would like to share her experience with us. She will be calling in shortly. Right now, I would like to introduce my co-host, Keisha. Hi, Keisha. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Tonight we'll be speaking in reference to domestic violence. Have my guest speaker came online yet? No, I guess my guest speaker hasn't came yet. Okay, domestic violence is highly being displayed in every day all around us, and we have to know how to handle it. Okay, domestic violence has been displayed around our areas, and they have let different people out. If you all have been looking at the news and everything like that, domestic violence, they have been letting people out of jail that has been held on domestic violence charges, and they let them out on accident. So the city of Dallas is actually going, and they're picking people back up, and they're asking people to turn themselves in at this moment. That were let out falsely on domestic violence charges. I don't know if you've been watching the TV show. Have you been watching the TV, Keisha?
Yeah, been watching the TV, been watching the news.
Yeah, and they let out a couple of people that were actually released on domestic violence that weren't supposed to be let out. So on tonight, I had asked our guest speaker, who hadn't came on the line yet, to call in, and she was going to share her experience with us in reference to some of the domestic violence that she had went through. I'm going to try to get her on the line as soon as possible. But until then, have you ever experienced domestic violence, Ms. Keisha?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I've been around a lot of cases where people had domestic violence within the households, the families. I've experienced people who actually had women who were beaten by their spouses. You have spousal abuse, which people would not like to report it. And you have men who actually being abused nowadays by women, and they're afraid to report it because they are men, and they feel like the crime won't let them report it. And I think that that's foolish because... And so you need to know that you are being abused, and nobody can help you if you don't report it.
Right.
What do you think? Yeah. So would you like to speak a little bit about domestic violence?
Sure. I feel like
I really don't like domestic violence. I have had people to die behind domestic violence where the, I had one friend with the domestic violence where her boyfriend used to beat her a lot, and she ended up getting killed behind it. So I just been going through a lot of that, and hopefully I won't have to go through anything like that, experience anything like that again. One guy was really upset, and what he did was he felt like if he couldn't be with her, nobody else could be with her. So what he did was he took her into a field and barbecued her. So I felt like that was real, real bad. And then I had one friend to be killed because of going through different men back and forth, and she ended up getting killed. So I've been going through a lot of that, and hopefully nothing like that won't ever go down again.
Yeah, I know I've experienced different occasions where a couple of friends of mine as well have been with men who have actually battered them, and they thought that it was love, so they didn't tell anyone. So in those instances, I know that women are afraid. You know, they're not afraid. They think that it's love, and
right.
It's different ways to identify it. You know that it's not love if a person is constantly verbally abusing you, and you know that leads into mental abuse. And some women are actually thinking that it's okay to be mentally abused because you know, it's coming from the boyfriends and the husbands and you know, things of that nature. And I feel like a woman should be able to identify when a man is overly protective and things like that. That's some of the ways that you can identify if a man is overly protective, and if he's actually beginning to yell and scream at you and things of that nature. I've seen a lot of our teen girls that's actually going and allowing their mates, the people that say that they're their boyfriend. I've seen them go around nowadays, and the boys are to the point where they're actually hands on the younger girls and things of that nature as well. And I don't think that that's cute, and a lot of girls think that that's real cute, and they'll say, well, my boyfriend just beat me, or, you know, he just hit me because he loved me or he liked me. And that's not, it's nothing cute about that at all. Do you think that's cute?
No, I don't think that's cute. I have been around a lot of girls too that have told me that they feel like it's okay for, if they get into an argument with their boyfriends or whatever, they can push their boyfriend's point, and he'll beat them up, and then they'll go back and defend them after the boyfriend's done beat them up. They feel like that it was just only at that particular moment the reason that he did what he did, and they still feel like they're supposed to be with that person. And then after so long, then the boyfriend end up killing them or abusing them mentally, physically, and emotionally. And some girls feel like that's okay, and it's not okay at all, because you are not supposed to be beat. You have a father and a mother, and once you've been raised once, you can't be raised twice. And it's not nice for a man to put their hands on a woman, and it's really not nice for a woman to put their hands on a man. So if you feel like you got to be in that kind of situation, the best thing for you to do is get out as soon as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I feel like you should find someone in your family or some friend, close friend or any or something like that, and just, you know, find somewhere to go at that point. I've actually experienced where a young lady had gotten killed. This was last year. I like to share that with you. I know you know the same lady. She actually got killed from I have two new callers. Would you like to introduce yourself? Would you like to say anything? We're talking a little bit about domestic violence. I wonder if one of them is my guest speaker. Hello, new caller. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm fine. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Travis. I called not too long ago when they had the rap session. Travis, a.k.a. Young God. I'm right here. It's actually like a two-way call. It's me and my mother-in-law. I'll let her introduce herself too.
My name is Ponytail. Hello,
okay.
My name is
Ponytail. Okay, Ponytail, you were going to be my guest speaker on tonight. we spoke previously, and you said you would like to share an incident about domestic violence. In a person that you knew went through a domestic violence situation, and you wanted to share that with us on tonight. Me and Keisha was just speaking about how some women are actually in relationships and they allow different things to go on. I wanted to just share your the friend of yours that you had that went through a domestic situation. I wanted you to share that with us on tonight because I know you knew a lot about it, and I know we had previously spoke about it. So if you would, please share that with me, if you would. And all the listeners on tonight.
How y'all doing, everybody on the line? My name is Connie. I'm just going to put it out here like this. It wasn't a friend, it was me. I've been through a relationship for 10 years, my baby daddy. You know, he beat me for 10 years, y'all. I was a woman that stayed in the house, never did nothing, but he was always running the streets, and when I called him on his shots, he took all his frustration out on me. Because I'm telling him what he was doing, and it caused for him to beat me because he was out there cheating on me, and then he tell me that I was cheating on him. I used to walk around with black eyes all the time.
You say you used to walk around
with
black eyes? Why would he actually get upset with you?
Huh?
Why would he get upset with you? Give some of the signs that you knew where you knew that he was cheating. Give some of the signs to some of our listeners, because some people don't recognize some of the signs. How did you know that he was cheating on you, and how did you know that he was ready to batter you at that moment?
Because at any given time, you know, he go out and stay out all night, and then he come home, he have hickeys on his neck. I'm not the one that's doing it. I'm here alone by myself, and you come home with another person. You got a hickey on your neck, and you have scratches on your back. He tell me you did this other night. Nah, baby, we haven't been sexual after nothing. But you coming home with hickeys on your neck, and then people calling my phone, playing on my phone, saying you laid up with them, woo woo this, and yeah, it carried on for a long time. You hear me? The truth hurts. When you tell the truth hurts, and I was calling him on all his shots because I wasn't doing nothing. I used to go hang out, kicking with my friends and everything. I'm coming home, and he not there. And when he do come home, it's another situation. He have scratches on his back. I know I'm not putting the scratches on your back. I'm not putting hickeys on your neck. I'm not doing that. And then girls is calling my house, and girls is showing up at my house. I'm getting into it with the girls. And then when the girls make you have a bad day, you come home and take it out on me.
Yeah, I have experienced that with Ponytail too, because I have been there with her. This is Keisha again. I have been there with her when she's been through that with Junior, and I have been there and I have seen things to where he would get mad at her just because she be in the house, or if she try to go get something to eat, he would try to fight her. If she tried to spend time with her kids, he would do things like that with her. So she went through a whole lot when it came down to being with her boyfriend her baby daddy for 10 years. And I felt like that it was a real scary feeling for me, knowing that she was my best friend, and me seeing her going through that with black eyes, with being cut and being mentally and physically and emotionally abused. And I felt like it was only a matter of time that between him and her, something was going to go down, and I was so glad when she finally decided to wake up and get away from that situation, because I feel like no woman or no woman should be beat at no particular time.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I know that some women go through the situation, and when she said call shots, If Block Talk listeners, if you don't know what call shots mean, I don't know what call shots mean. Can you kind of explain to me when you say you called him on his shots and then he would get upset and he would begin to beat on you? What does calling shots mean? If you could share that with some of the younger ladies, because some of the younger ladies don't understand what calling shots mean. Just explain to them kind of what you mean when you say call shots.
Like when I call shots, it's like you know how you point some out on your men or the, you know, you smell a perfume, you see the hickeys, the scratches, and then, you know, when you laying in the bed together, how you cuddle and stuff like that, you all that leaves. You hear me? That's what you calling a shot at. You putting it out there on the table. You cheating or you not cheating? But he's always cheating.
So you saying once you start thinking that he was cheating on you and you would say something about it, he would actually begin to scare you?
He would get aggressive and he would be in denial. He would do everything. He would tell me, he said, you need proof. You need all this. I do have the proof. The girls is calling my house. You stay out all night. I'm not doing nothing. I'm out here taking care of the kids. I'm taking care of you. And you in the wrong.
So that led up to the domestic violence, that the what you're basically saying is you were a good woman to him, but like I'm saying, like what led up to the part where he actually started beating you? Like at what point? Like I know that you saying like you could identify the things where he was cheating, but I'm saying what led up to him actually beating you? What were some of the signs that you noticed to like where you was getting ready to know that you were getting ready to be beat, or you didn't know that that he was supposed to start beating you, or like what were some of the signs that he was actually getting ready to beat you? Like I understand that you were beating.
Like, when I walk out the room and try to leave, he'll grab me by my hair because I was trying to walk away before anything happened. But the only thing he'll do, he will grab me and tell me I'm lying. And then when I try to go and get the girls and stuff to bring the girls to my house because the person lives around the corner that you're cheating with. And when
I try to go out there to go get the people.
He want to drag me by my hair to bring me in the house so it wouldn't be no confrontation. And that's when he started beating on me. He started cussing me out. All kind of words.
Her main thing was that when they was together, you know, her main thing was no matter what she did and no matter what she tried to do, if she tried to show him love, he would push her away. Or even if she would just confront him on a lot of things that she would see that he was doing, then he would get mad and then he would fight on her. So it was mainly his self-conscious that was beating him up to make him take it out on her.
Oh, okay, I understand more now. Okay, so you're saying, like, if she would actually say, like, some of the warning signs would be, some of the warning signs that some of our younger ladies or older ladies would look for is him getting more aggressive toward her, like showing aggressive, like that's what I'm saying. Like I understand that he was beating her, but I'm saying like before the beatings came, like were there any signs like that he was gonna be an aggressor? You know what I'm saying? Like, were there any signs, like, was he nice at first, or, you know, because I know most men they be real nice.
When I first met my baby daddy, he was a nice young man, you hear me? He was a nice young man, and then as we started dating and everything changed, you hear me? Everything changed.
At what point did the things change? Did they change? Did you have a baby or did he lose his job? What prompted the change?
Listen. I don't have a miscarriage. by these men. I don't had abortion by these men. And then I have a 10-year-old daughter out here. We have a kid together now.
What I'm asking
but is, I mean, like, when he first, what she saying, when he first started the abuse, generally there's either they're upset about something that prompts them to start being either physical or demeaning you, putting you down. So was it the job or was it you're getting pregnant that disturbed him?
Listen. The man never had a job. I always took care of him. He never had a job. I always carried the weight.
I understand what happened to you, and I know that it was very bad, and I agree with you, it was very bad. But I'm saying what we're trying to do is trying to point out some signs that another woman in their relationship. What are some of the signs that they can look for? Like with your situation and the stuff that he did to you. The things that he did to you, he beat you and stuff like that. I'm saying, how did you, like, before, like, how did you know that it was coming? Like, when it, like, did he,
well,
like,
well,
you say
well,
he...
Well, LaShawn, in domestic violence situations, you don't know when it's coming. He can walk in mad from something that happened on the street and start a fight with you. There really doesn't have to be anything particularly that you're aware of that will set them off. I've been in domestic violence. So when she's saying that sometimes they will wake up and be mad about something that happened out on the street with somebody else, and you become the hitting bag for whatever happened in the street. Is that right? Because that's the situation. But what she's saying is, well, LaShawn is trying to get to is maybe there was a time when he became more verbally abusive than he was physical. Because with some of them, they go through those things and we really don't pay them any attention because we figure out that's just the way he is. He's upset about something. Maybe he lost his job. But there was one thing that started off and started the head of the violence towards you, the abuse, the physical as well as the verbal. And you have to really think back yourself because a lot of times when it happens, you don't really know what set him off. Really, it'll be nothing that you did, you know. And that's probably what she's trying to say, that sometimes with some men, there is nothing to really they'll be talking real nice to you yesterday, and you've had a few disagreements. And all of a sudden, when you have this next disagreement, he goes kapow. And you really couldn't figure out what caused him to go kapow, except that your head is spinning. There's nothing else. There was nothing to tell you that it was going to happen. There was no warning sign. There was nothing that you could have prepared yourself for is what she's probably, I think she's saying that sometimes there is no warning sign. He was fine. You've been talking. All of a sudden, he goes, he's another man. You're trying to figure out who in the world walked in my house because this guy yesterday, up until yesterday, he was very nice. We had never had no problems. And now, all of a sudden, Mr. Hyde has come out, and we're trying to figure out which one is he. So sometimes you don't get a warning sign, or then maybe you've gotten them, and you really just didn't recognize him.
In her situation, I'm going to tell you how it was. He was nice at one point, and then sometime it was at a point to where she could be loving to him. He would be loving back. But then, like the next 5 or 10 minutes, he would be at that point to where he just didn't care. He just didn't.
Was he drinking?
Turn to
was he drinking then?
He
would do that?
No, he never drank. He always smoked weed. That's the thing he do with smoke weed.
Okay.
Drugs is what led him into his aggression. He was using drugs, and the drugs was making him get upset with you and making him.
Okay. I knew it had to be something in there that caused him to just start flipping. It had to be something going on.
Yeah, it was a point of time that when you come home, you stay gone for 2 or 3 days. You out there with somebody else. And then the girl calling my phone telling me that you here with her. Okay, why she calling my phone? And then when you come to my house, I say, okay, you been over here with her, so you need to get out my house and go be with her.
But did they not so know the age range that y'all was at?
And then that's the point when I try to put him out, that's when he want to put his hands on me. When I want to put him out, he want to put his hands on me.
Okay, I understand. So he was one of those types that just carried on at any given point. You didn't know whether he was going to come, and he just was aggressive at any time. And then he would get upset with his other girlfriend and come home and carry on.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. A lot of that I speak with, I used to do a little mentoring.
Hello. Somebody's holding another conversation while they're on the phone with us, and we're recording. And we really don't want to be recording anything we're not supposed to be. So if you please disconnect or mute your phone.
Somebody's talking in the background.
Hello? Are we still here?
Hello?
Hello?
I don't know what's going on with this program. Hold on, please.
Ma'am? Hello? You know who to reach. Leave me a message, and I'll be sure to return your phone call at my earliest convenience. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hold on one second. We're having some technical problems here. I don't know where LaShawn is. LaShawn?
Looks like a phone put off.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of her now. Maybe she'll call back in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go on, tell us about how did you get away from this young man? Hello? Is she still with us?
How did you get away from this young man? Okay, let me back it up because my son-in-law just put it out here to me. Because when I met this young man, he was like 19 years old when I met him, all right? I was 25. I was 24 when I met this young man. But he did come to me as a grown man because he stepped in my house and took my kids under his wing as a father figure. But it's just like, a relationship gonna be a relationship. You hear me?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm sorry. My phone hung up, you guys.
Go ahead.
Yes, age doesn't matter, but right now, he was young when I met him, but it's just like a relationship is a relationship. You're gonna be in it or you're gonna be out of it. If you're going to go out there and cheat with other people, you need to be with that person. If you don't want to be with me, leave me alone and go be with that next person. That's how it was, because he was a young man when I met him. He was 19 years old, and I was 25 when I met this young man.
Well, you weren't really out of his age group. I mean, that's like 6 years. It's not like you know, he was 19, you were 40, and you're in the same age group. That's not a big, that's not 10 years difference or anything. So you guys were in the same age group, so he was qualified to be with you. So that doesn't make any difference, like 6 years. So he wasn't that young. The problem that we're concerned with for you and for him is that young people are taking relationships and making them as though you're married, and his hitting on you and you're allowing it was wrong on a lot of levels, because we were worried about this happening for you and happening for other young women, that you're being taught that and being shown that the only way somebody can care about you or say that they care about you is by putting their hands on you. And no man has the right to put hands on you, but you don't have a right to take care of any man. No, a man that doesn't...
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Hello?
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hi, sweetie.
Yes, Blog Talk listeners. I apologize again. I don't know why my phone keeps hanging up. Hello, my guest speaker, are you still on?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. I apologize for that. My phone keeps hanging up. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not I agree with you. I apologize for that. I understand when you were saying the things about what was going on as far as him and the hitting and the arguments and things of that nature. And I really appreciate you for coming on and speaking with us on tonight about it. And you pointed out some very good things about how young women should, identify the things where the man is actually getting ready to, come and actually do things. Y'all are saying basically that sometimes there are no warning signs. He's just coming out and he's doing it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of women need to look forward to just him just coming in being upset and angry. That's pretty much what I got from the conversation, right? Ms. Ponytail?
Yes, I'm here. She was asking me how did I get out of it.
Yeah, how did you get out of the relationship?
man, it took me for me to open my eyes up and just let this man go, because, you know, the last time that he cheated on me, I caught him at his sister's house. He told me, you know, he told me that he was fit to go to school. And he went to his sister's house, and I'm leaving Pleasant Grove going down 52nd. I see him at his sister's house with another woman in his car. And we done got into it. We done did this. We done did that. We done argued about this lady. And then after that point, when I called him, he told me that he was going to leave him alone, leave her alone. So I took him back in. But then it kept going on. I got his phone, and I said, the last lady that I talked to on his phone, and she held a deep conversation about me and tell me something about my baby daddy that I don't know and tell me something about my family that I don't know. Yeah, y'all been carrying on for a long time. So I talked to this young lady, and she told me everything about me and told me everything about him. I said, okay. So I woke him up out of his sleep. And I told him, well, if this the lady that you want to be with, you need to go on and go be with her and get out of my house and leave. And the only thing he had to do, he called his sister and told his sister to come get his clothes, help him get his clothes, and he moved on.
Because so he left voluntarily without
y'all having to go through.
Man, the first time when I called him too with this girl, we had went through a lot because I tried to kill them people. I tried to run them people over. I did, because I was tired of him cheating on me, abusing me, because he saying he was cheating on me, and I done called him, all this and that. Now I was tired at that point. So his abuse
led you into rage and you wanting to hurt him as well. So he pretty much made you into being violent as well, is what you're saying.
Yes, he did.
Okay. So I believe a lot of listeners can understand.
He did that to me.
I believe a lot of ladies that have been through the situation that you've been through, I think it made them as well angry and upset, and brought them into violence as well. So in your next relationship, have you had any problems in your other relationships as far as domestic violence? Did you carry that with you, or how are you when it comes to when you're in another relationship? Are you carrying that baggage with you, or are you forgiving of them? How do you take on that?
I had it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. You said, how do you take on a new relationship, or have you ever been in any other relationship, or how does that work?
I had another brief relationship like that, too. I had a man that carried on the same way as the man that beat me for 6 years, but I didn't let that go no longer. I didn't let that go on for no long time. I got rid of him when he put his hands on me and he cut my hair and whatever. I had to let him go because that took me back to my baby daddy.
Oh, okay. So
he was out there doing the same thing as my baby daddy was doing. He was out there cheating on me, thought I was cheating on him, but I wasn't. He was doing the same thing.
Okay, so you pretty much saying that once you've already been in a relationship, you're more common to that. I spoke with a lot of women. I feel like, yeah, you're more common to get those kind of guys again, and you can recognize it quicker, so you can go ahead and get out that kind of relationship before it gets into anything worse or harder than what it was, you know, the first time. I'm really proud of you for being able to recognize that.
This second relationship that I was in, this man sent me to jail. This man had sent me to jail for family domestic violence, and we weren't even together.
So you went to jail this time for domestic violence?
Yes, he sent me to jail, and we weren't together. Him and his girlfriend was at the store, and he told the police that I put my hands on him. And the police arrested me And this man done choked me out at the store and everything. And they didn't take him to jail, but they gonna come to my house and take me to jail.
So do you feel like you've been, feel like you formed, after being in a relationship, after being in a domestic violence relationship, do you feel like you yourself have become very aggressive as well? And you take that into your new relationships and you actually become aggressive, or you don't feel like you've become more aggressive in your other relationships as well? Are you more angrier, or do you understand what I'm asking you?
I don't have a relationship because I don't know. I don't have a relationship because I feel like a man, if I'm good to a man still gonna go out there and do what he do. You hear me?
Okay. So you actually feel like now, since you've been in a domestic violence relationship, that all the other men are going to be the same way?
Yes.
So he pretty, yes. So do you know that they have, have you ever had to go to counseling or anything for any of that? Like, do you seek help for that? Because they have places that you can actually go to that can actually help you as far as helping you get your mind and everything back together, because there are still some good men out here. And you know, they have places that where you can go speak with people. Once we get offline, I can give you some numbers and things where you can actually go and speak with people. I can tell you while you're online. They have, like, the Metro Care Centers, and they have counselors and things in Dallas where you can actually go and get help. And they have a lot of different things where you can actually go speak with other women. You know, it's good sometimes to actually speak with other women in reference to it that have been through it, so they can actually help you gather your thoughts and get you back to where you were before you became a person involved inside a domestic violence relationship, so that you can gather yourself back together and you won't take that into your future relationships, because you deserve a chance to be with someone else that can make you happy, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be with those other kind of guys. I'm getting ready to put together a ladies unity event this coming October, where we're going to actually have different women coming in, and we're going to, it's no men invited, it's going to be all women, and we're going to have different stations and everything where different people coming out and speaking with you all, people that want to come in reference to ladies unity and teaching you how to build up your spirit and just a woman being a woman all together. And I would like to invite you as well as some of the Blog Talk listeners to our event, and I'll let you all know more on our upcoming shows. And I really appreciate you for actually coming on the show and speaking on tonight in reference to the situation at hand, because a lot of women are not open to actually speak with us in reference to domestic violence. And I apologize that you had to go through something of that nature. And a lot of women are afraid to actually get into other relationships, like you said before. Are you looking to actually get into another relationship, or are you going to leave all relationships alone?
Me, this is what I tell myself. I'm going to let a man come find me. I'm not going to go out here and seek no man. I'm going to let a man come and find me. Because if I find a right man, if he a right man, he can find me, and I'm going to let him cherish me. I'm not going to go out there and find no man. Because if I go out there and find a man, I feel like that I'm going to find the wrong man that's going to put me in my grave.
Yeah, you can go and actually, seek the Bible.
Let me intervene there. That's what women are supposed to do anyway. We're not supposed to go out and be the hunter. We're supposed to be the soft, gentle, sweet helpers waiting for somebody to make us his bride. We're not supposed to go looking, because when we go looking, we don't know what it is that we want, and we don't know what it is that we need. So, well, let's do this. What you need right now, since you're not in a relationship, is a time to reflect and to think about who you are and what you want and what your needs are, and not really think about a relationship, because a relationship it's like a third party coming in. Now you've got to think about me. I've got to think about me, myself and I. And I've got to think about him, he, and what he wants. So,
yeah, I feel like I have to put myself first now.
Well, you're always supposed to put yourself first, because if you always, if you put yourself first and know how to treat you, then when someone comes into your life, you'll tell them what it is that you want, what it is that you need, and you'll be able to meet their needs. But if you haven't learned what you need and what you want as a woman, you'll always keep going and finding the wrong man and not being treated as you should be treated. So whatever you're doing right now, enjoy your life.
I'm enjoying my life because, I, like I told my kids, I'm going to let a man come find me. I'm not going to go out there and search for a man.
Well, yes, if you're praying and asking God to send you the man that he knows is best for you, then that's going to be fine, because what you're doing right now is getting ready for that husband to come. So that's what you should be doing, ready, refining your skills, cooking and cleaning and making yourself beautiful and making yourself feel good like the princess that you are. So when the man comes to you, he'll say, oh, my goodness, let me take this princess and make her my bride. So you want to get yourself ready. You want to be yourself ready. So when you come to the table and they present you and call out your name, he'll know that you're the one for him, because you've been getting prepared for him for a long time. So take that take that abuse and take it up like a mole to your mountain that's moving you up closer and closer to where you're supposed to be and giving you all the things that you need in your life. And God will be getting you ready for that man that he has for you. So use that, what that young man did and what the other one did, as stepping stones to where God's trying to take you. And so if you go ahead and prepare yourself as a woman to be someone's bride, when he comes to you, you'll be ready. So let go of all the anger, and let go of all the anger, because I've been there. But I wasn't. Nobody told me to release that anger and to forgive them. So a lot of the anger that I had from the abuse came into my marriage. It took a long time to get that out. So,
yeah, I agree with you
on. I agree with you on everything you said, and I'm gonna take that to heed. I'm gonna take that and use that.
Yeah, because it's coming from experience. I've already been there. I've already done that, and I've already found out that if you don't forgive that person for the abuse, and you don't get yourself ready, you'll waste a whole lot of time in your next relationship, which could be the good one.
And you know what you're saying, because you know I had got locked up and I had went to recovery for this stuff. I done talked about this stuff and then I done forgave him for what he done to me.
Yes.
And I have, and I have forgave him for what he done to me.
Yeah.
And it's
so
time for him to forgive himself.
Well, that's between him and his God. That's not for you to worry about. That's not your concern. Your concern is that you forgive yourself for allowing yourself to go there, and you forgive him for what he did, and you pray that God will fix him and heal him and deliver him from whatever it was that was a pain, caused him harm in his life, because we don't want to see that man go down either. There's too many men in the graveyards and in the prisons, so we want
him
to be saved too.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
You move along, and you just keep on praying for him, and you just move along. Like she just said, you just move along, and you pray for him, because you don't want him to be a part of the system as well. You want him to get his mind right, and if you pray to our higher power, and he will fix his heart as well, and maybe he won't go into his next relationship beating on the next woman, and you want to stay as far away from anybody that's being hostile. When you sense hostility in your relationships, I think that you should you know how to identify that now. So once a man first start being hostile towards you, you know how to identify, so you know how to get out of that relationship, or better yet, start talking to him. And when you get to a man this time, ask the man if he go to church and ask him to pray with you, because a family that prays together stays together, and that's the best advice I can give you myself.
The best advice that I can give her is stop looking for love in all the wrong places. You know what I'm saying? First, you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. You see what I'm saying? So you got to start looking to the hills which come into your hell, baby, first of all. That's what you got to do. You got to have strength. You know, you got to know when to go on and when to let go. Is what you have to
you
do.
You got
to
have faith.
So first thing you got to learn to do is stop looking for love in all the wrong places, because the only love, the best love you can have is Jesus, and he's the only one that's going to guide you to where you can have a positive and a great relationship.
Yeah, I agree with you, Miss Keisha. You keep God in everything that you do, and if you keep God in it, it shouldn't go wrong.
Yes.
We have 10 minutes left, Blog Talk listeners. What were you supposed to say, Ponytail? I apologize for cutting you off.
I say, y'all speaking God on his truth, because you always should put that man up there and ask this man to lead you the right way, and I always do that.
Yeah, keep him in everything you do, and I know that there will be a good man that will come out, and he will actually find you this time. And he would actually make you his wife and stop going into relationships. The best advice I can give anybody that's listening is to stop going into relationships trying to make that your man, because sometimes people are placed in your life sometimes for just a season, and they're learning situation. All men that you meet are not going to be your boyfriends. Don't make them your boyfriends. Every man that you come into contact with do not have to be your boyfriend. You don't have to accept anything that a person says to you. I'm not talking just in general to just women. I'm talking to men as well. If any men are out there listening, because I know Travis was on the line, and I want him to know as well. You don't have to give in to any situation, because men be in domestic violence situations as well, but they're not more openly to talk about it. Their egos, a lot of people's egos hold them in, don't allow them to talk about it. And I know a lot of men are being abused as well as women, so I'm not going to just beat up all the men, but I know a lot of women go through it, and we tend to allow a man to just go further than a man allows a woman. So you can, if you get into a situation, you can step away from it before it get too messy. And if you all would learn to use your words instead of your hands, anybody that's listening, start to use your words, not your hands, when you're in a situation. Any argument can be discussed upon. You don't have to touch. Touching is illegal. You can go to jail for that. And that's where a lot of our good men are. They're in jail. A lot of our good women are in jail because they decided to put their hands where it didn't belong. You keep your hands off of other people. Don't y'all agree with me? You keep your hands off of other people. Keep your hands to yourself. Use your words.
When you get to a point, if you in a relationship or if you just with someone, and this is just my opinion, but I'm 43, and I had a husband, and he was good to me, and he died of a massive heart attack after 9 years. So I have been a widow for a long time, and I went through a lot of dating and one-night stands and things like that, and I felt like since he was gone, I had to try to find somebody else to take his place. And every time I would do that, I would find the wrong somebody. So what I did was I decided to stop and sit still. And then I said, well, if it takes for me to be alone, then I'm supposed to be alone. But then some things in the back of my mind, then something hit me in the back of my mind and said, no, you're just looking for love in all the wrong places. So what you got to do is let go and let God. And so that's what I did. So now I'm at this point where now I feel like I'm at a good point to where I can meet somebody new, But then I'm also afraid because I see a lot of things that I see a lot of my friends go through. So it makes me afraid to date. So what I do now is just walk. And if somebody say hi, it's okay. And I don't have to be afraid to say that he's not the same person that the other person was. So I have to allow myself to give the next person a chance. So now I'm at that point. So I really need advice on me. Is it me or is it me looking the wrong way or am I seeking the wrong way or what am I doing wrong?
When you say what are you doing wrong, I don't think you're doing nothing wrong. I heard you when you spoke when you said you're afraid to speak with people. You don't have to be afraid to speak with people because of the situations that your friends or your family went through. You don't have to be afraid to meet new people. Never be afraid to meet new people. Just be afraid of what you get yourself into. Don't lead yourself into any situations to where you can't get out. And so at every given point, we're all adults. And some teenagers, y'all have to teach your kids as well, that you can say no. It's okay to say no at some point. You don't have to say yes to everything. Don't be a yes bird to everybody. You can say no to people at any given time. You can voice your opinion and say, hey, I don't want to be involved in this situation anymore. Don't be afraid to just say, hey, I don't want to participate in this. I'm through. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to go through this. You don't have to go through anything that you don't, that, you know, anything harmful, period. You don't have to put yourself into it. You can just step out. So don't be afraid to meet new people, Keisha. You just have to just meet them and don't be afraid. Talk to them, listen, be aware. Open your eyes, know what you're getting yourself into. Don't go along with them. If you have to take one of your friends with you as you go, you know, it's okay. On the first couple of dates, you know, it might sound corny, but you can take your friends along with you. You know, go into places that you know, in public places with them. Don't just take them straight to your house because that's not a good thing in a friend's room. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm at that point to where, you know, I go out and I've got to the point to where we have a good conversation on the phone. Now we're at the point to where we're wanting to meet each other face to face, and that's a scary part for me. And I don't know how I go about is doing it. So I'm trying to figure out what should
well,
I
a
do.
A comfortable place would be to bring him where some friends are having lunch and have him come out and meet maybe one or two friends, another couple or something where he feels comfortable and you feel comfortable. And then
okay.
Meet him someplace maybe after work that where you've driven your car and he's driven his, where you don't also he doesn't go to your house until you feel comfortable with him. Just meet out in public places where you can have a maybe a cup of coffee at Starbucks or something, or meet at some little nice bistro where you can have a salad or something and drink and talk right there for a bit, and then maybe you'll talk on the phone a few days later. Just take it slow and easy.
Okay. Good advice.
Yeah.
I've been watching.
Yeah, just take it as far as you want it to go, but take it very slow until you feel comfortable and just let him know that I need to do this so that I feel comfortable and so that you feel comfortable. And just let the person know that. And don't go all into your background. They don't need to know that. Just told me this is the way you'd like to do it for a while. Follow the Steve Harvey 90-day rule.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. We're down to our last minute. If you all would, go ahead and pray us out. Would you like to say a prayer, Ms. Beasley?
Yeah. I want to thank all of the listeners that come on Street Talk, and we need all of your help to keep this program going. And right now we want to thank God for your coming on the show, telling us a little bit about your lives and letting us put a little bit of our information into your ear. And, Lord, we ask you to bless each and every young woman that's on this phone this evening. And we thank you for the listeners, the ones that wanted to call in but didn't call in. We thank you for your gift of LaShawn doing this program, and we want to give you the praise and the honor. We want to tell you, yes, Lord, thank you for all things, and we ask you to bless these young women that they come back on our show, and that we may help women to help themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Good night, everyone. Have a good evening.
Good night. You all have
and God bless.
Online again next week from 8 to 9. Thank you, Black Talk listeners. We're signing off. Good night.
Good night. And God bless.